Welcome to the final hour of the show. This is Game Day. I'm Matt Cause. That's Garrett Wheeler. It is Free for All Friday. Text us your questions at 105050. Email us live at tsn1050.ca, or you can tweet us at WheelerTSN. I'm at mcause56. Any questions you want, sports or non-sports. For instance, Dan writes in, can you get Gareth to sing the I'm Blue song?
By Eiffel 65?
Yeah.
Wow, do we have that?
I don't know if we have I'm Blue. That was such...
Maybe a little bit later on.
That just reminds me of like late 90s, early 2000s.
Yes.
At like bars or clubs.
Yeah.
The Blue song. That song is horrible.
But you didn't really know what the words were.
No.
What were they actually saying?
I have no
idea. I'm blue, ba-ba-dee-ba-ba-da. Like, no one knew.
Yeah. That wasn't bad.
But there was this one guy on my soccer team at the time was at Western. He thought it was, I'm blue, I'ma die sometime, which was really off base. Wasn't that.
Can we cut what Gareth just did there?
Really?
And we'll replay that because we're all confused by it.
Because I think it was, I'm blue, if I was green, I would die? Is that what it was?
I have no idea. And as you're talking, Tyler is singing into my headphones what he thinks it is. So I'm just confused by all of this.
It's a great song. We'll see if we have it. And we'll play it later on if we do.
Someone texts in, Roman Polak gets suspended for 2 games because another player turns. Polak can't control that. Crosby slashes Mathot. Crosby should be in care of his stick. I wonder if eventually there will be some sort of punishment for Sidney Crosby.
It is going to be a big story
how
today.
Especially considering how many games Mathot's going to miss.
It's going to be a big story today. I don't know about you. I've had numerous people hit me up about how Crosby's a whiner and he always plays like this. Mm-hmm. There's some Crosby dislike.
There's some hate.
Being spewed today after earlier in the week, it was all about his incredible one-handed backhand goal.
Yeah.
But I kind of think that this is a problem big picture in the NHL. Don't you notice a lot more stick work, a lot more slashing, which isn't cracked down on? And this is the substitute with less hitting, there's more stick work. And Crosby's guilty of it, and last night the injury looks ugly. Mm-hmm. But when you hear the platitudes of Eugene Melnyk and others calling for punishment, calling him out, it's not something that you typically hear against a superstar athlete, arguably the best in the game like Crosby is. Now, do I think he should have some kind of punishment? Absolutely.
Yeah.
It looked bad last night. It looks even worse on the referees for not calling it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The injury looked bad. Crosby looked bad. The official screwed up. It's bad on all cases. And the funny thing is we're still getting tweets and texts about toaster ovens.
People are still crushing it on the toaster oven. Some people are making really good arguments why you should. It conserves energy.
Mm-hmm.
It heats up quickly.
Yeah.
It's not as bad for you as a microwave is. So I'm kind of being sold on this whole idea of picking up a toaster oven. I thought they were extinct.
And now, and by the way, now I'm just texting in the lyrics to I'm Blue, and they're texting in how they think the
Tony
song
B,
is.
I'm blue, if I was green, I would die. I'm blue, da-ba-dee-da-ba-die. I'm blue, I'ma die sometime. I swear, a guy I played soccer with literally thought those were the words. I'm blue, I'ma die sometime, I'ma die sometime.
Here's Pierre LeBrun talking about the latest on the Olympics.
I would say, I think we have about 5 or 6 weeks at most here left. And probably more so on the 2 to 3 week range, but if you really, really want to push it, 5 or 6 weeks, I think that's where we're at. For all kinds of reasons, for scheduling, for planning, the logistics of housing. I mean, if the NHL players are going to South Korea, you need way more rooms for friends and family than you would for a non-NHL Olympic hockey tournament. So the IOC needs to know. So I think we're in the stretch run here in terms of a yay or nay on this.
And so basically, it'll be May. It'll be the month of May before we know.
Tell me this. Is it weird we're playing a clip from Pierre LeBrun when he's about to just join us on the program?
That's what I was about to do.
No, but is that weird that we're doing that?
No, I'm promoting Pierre LeBrun is about to come on the show, and I wanted to set the context for the people out there that they know, you know, LeBrun has been all over this. He has been covering it, covering Donald Fears speaking out about the Olympics. He joins us right now. Rarely do we get the TSN Hockey Insider, California Cabernet Cabernet Sauvignon enthusiast, Pierre LeBrun. Pierre, thanks for joining us.
Anytime, guys. Anytime.
Anything good that you've opened recently before we get to sports?
My wife told me to stop talking about wine on the radio because it makes me sound snobby. I think she has a point because I'm not snobby. I'm a blue-collar guy from Northern Ontario. I just happen to love wine.
Hey, Pierre, can your wife tell Matthew to stop speaking about wine on the radio too?
I will list off 10 wines that are $10 or under. It's not about being a snob talking about wine.
True.
Okay, how about this? When someone says they don't like a certain type of beer, no one calls them a beer snob. I say I don't like Australian Shiraz, suddenly I'm a wine snob. It's not fair. There's a double standard.
True.
Thank you.
And more people, I mean, and the stats prove it, more and more people from all walks of life have gotten into wine over the last 25 years. That's
exactly.
The beauty of it.
We need to shed this idea that it's snobby. I'm moving on.
I'm moving on.
It's just we need to get over that mythology of some sort of snobbery when it comes to enjoying a glass of wine. Pierre, how long before, like, we just played you that clip. You said it could go up to 6 weeks. I know this is a hard question to answer, but do you have a general feel? I mean, you've covered this so many times, and, you know, you can sometimes read between the lines of what someone is saying. Would you say you're more optimistic or the other side or negative about NHL participation?
I just think the point I keep coming back to is that if the league truly wanted to pull the plug on this, they would have by now. I mean, what's stopping them?
Yeah.
At the end of the day, this is the NHL's decision in terms of whether to allow players there or not. No one else's. Okay?
Yep.
Because the players want to be there. So it's up to the league whether it's a yay or nay from that perspective. Now, obviously, I would think that given that you know the players want to be there, you have to be careful about that, especially when it comes to the future of, you know, Connor McDavid and Austin Matthews being the poster boys for your league. But having said all that, it really is ultimately the owner's decision. And if they wanted by now, they could have just pulled a plug. They haven't. So what does that tell you? I think it tells you that, you know, the league is trying to get something out of this. Hey, I mean, that's the business we're in, right? And that's why they're playing this out. And if you listen attentively to Gary Bettman's comments, it's always about right now we're not going. Like, if things don't change, we're not going. But ... fill in the blanks.
So this is less about players participating in South Korea and more about CBA negotiations.
I mean, maybe on some level, yeah. I mean, I think as I speculated on insider trading last week, I mean, if the players were willing to promise not to opt out in 2020, I mean, the CBA goes to 2022, but it has an opt-out 2 years before that, for each side, by the way. If the players were willing to promise not to opt out, I think that's something that Bettman could take to his owners and say, we got labor peace out of this, at least till the end of this deal. But I asked Donald Fear that question yesterday, and it really did not sound like that had any chance of happening because, to use Donald Fear's words, I mean, he saw that as a two-year extension.
Right.
So, the tough thing in all this for me is that it's a lot of the posturing now. I mean, I've covered some lockouts. I've got the scars to prove it. I've been on many frozen New York sidewalks for a couple of lockouts, and you just, some of the rhetoric and the spin, and yeah, you just want to get on the other side of this.
All right, we'll move on. Donald Fear
is coming up at 12:05 on Leafs Lunch.
Yes, he is.
And you can read Pierre's piece, his conversation with Donald on ESPN.com. Is there anything more that Fear can do here in this situation?
I think what he's going to probably tell you is that he wants to keep going at it. He wants to keep the lines of communication open right to the end here. And, you know, I think we've got about another 5-6 weeks here. There's no real deadline from his perspective because the players are ready to play any time. It's more the IIHF and the IOC and the NHL have some hard decisions to make before it's too late here. But I think for Donald Fear, an international hockey means a ton to him. I mean, the players want to play in the Olympics for obvious reasons, but on a macro level, Donald Fear has really embraced the idea that international hockey is the next frontier, in his opinion, for the sport in the league. So he has a lot riding on this, too. But again, I think he'll tell you this, but I don't think the players feel that in exchange for doing what they feel is right for the sport, they have to give anything up, right? So.
Yep.
So where does that lead all this? And I think it's a tough question to answer.
It leads to you having to do more reports and deadlines get pushed back. Right. Let's talk something a little more fun, Pierre. Your expectations of the Maple Leafs to start the year versus how big of a gap is there, what your expectations were for the Maple Leafs right when the season begun versus how they're playing today? How big is that gap?
Yeah, I thought they'd be very improved, but not a playoff team. And you know, I don't think it's far off from what Mike Babcock and Lou Lamoriello actually had in mind, too, if they were to admit it now. But I think they felt it was a team that could still be in the conversation in March and play meaningful games, but likely on the outside looking in. So I think this team has surprised everyone from inside and outside. And, you know, leave it to Taylor Hall, who made an interesting observation yesterday, you know, as we were poor guy and still hasn't played a playoff game. And, you know, we were sort of asking him about, you know, his old team, the Oilers, making it finally, and obviously how frustrating that is for Hall, even though he still has friends on that team. But then I asked Hall, I said, well, what about the Leafs? They got 8 rookies, and now it looks like they might be playoff bound. You know, to a guy like Hall, can you imagine how that looks to him?
How did he take that,
but you know, he was very complimentary of the Leafs. And one of the things that he said is, and he gave the coaching staff huge props, but he said, you know, it's one thing, obviously, offensively, they've been really impressive. He goes, but, and the quote's in the story, I had a Taylor Hall story posted this morning, but he said, and also to see them tune in on the other side of the puck this quickly is impressive. And that's an interesting observation from Taylor Hall, because he went through that process himself of becoming a better two-way guy as time went on. And it was a huge issue in Edmonton in the early years of that failed rebuild. But for him to comment about that with the young Leafs, A, it's a huge compliment to Mike Babcock more than anyone. But I think to the young players, too, who – and it's true. If you look at the Leafs over the last few weeks during the 7-1-1 run, way more responsible with the puck. It's never going to be a piece of art sometimes in their own zone, let's be honest. But you do see some of the young Thoroughbreds now once in a while making safer decisions. You know what? I don't have to beat two guys here to make a play. Maybe I'll just, you know, chip it off the boards. That has made Mike Babcock so happy in terms of the development of this team.
It's a great point, Pierre. And I was kind of on this earlier in the show. Over those 9 games where they've gone 7-1-1, they've given up 2 goals or less in 8 of the 9 games. It was just the game against the Panthers where they let in 7, but other than that, 2 goals or less, and you're going to be at least competitive by doing so. And it's been widely reported, and it's logical they want to improve on the back end. But you get the sense, based upon the way that this team's playing, that they might not have to make an earth-shattering move to get incremental gain, and that basically the way the team's built and the way that Babcock coaches them up may be good enough for this group?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. And let's put it this way. I mean, at the start of the year, the trade chip that a lot of other team executives kept telling me they thought they might be able to pry out of Toronto for a top 4D was William Nylander. I don't know if you can do that now if you're Toronto. I mean, he's come along. His arc is through the roof now. So now you're not going to get a top 4 defenseman this summer for JVR. He's got 1 year left on his deal, and he's a terrific player, but he's not. Top 4 defensemen are so hard to get. I mean, Taylor Hall was traded for Adam Larson. So I don't know how you – and on top of all that, the Leafs are hardly the only team that would like to seriously upgrade their blue line. I shouldn't say seriously, but upgrade their blue line, right? Tampa Bay Lightning have made it priority number one come this offseason, and I think they're going to be willing to trade a top 6 or top 9 forward to get it done, and they've got lots of good ones. Buffalo Sabres, Tim Murray has publicly talked about number one thing for Buffalo this summer is upgrading D. Calgary Flames want to upgrade D. Winnipeg Jets want to upgrade their D. List goes on, and there aren't that many teams trading D. Anaheim and Minnesota might, because of the expansion draft situation. Vancouver Canucks might have a piece or two, but the reality is the list of teams that want D and the list of teams that are trading D is completely unbalanced. And so that's the tough part for the Leafs in terms of going the trade route. It's doable, but at what cost?
No kidding. Pierre, let's switch gears to what's going to be the biggest story nationally across the hockey world today. The Sidney Crosby slash last night almost took off Mark Methot's digit. It was gruesome. It was ugly. And now there's been some outcry out of Ottawa and beyond towards wanting punishment for Sidney Crosby. Did you happen to hear Eugene Melnyk's comments made on TSN 1200?
I did. I tweeted out, by the way. I retweeted Bruce Garriock, who had quoted Melnyk on TSN 1200. and that Bill Daly, via email, tells me that there will not be anything further in this matter in terms of Sidney. No, I mean,
what?
It's a slash. It's bad, and we all feel terrible for Mark Mathod, who's a terrific guy and player, and it's a brutal break for the Senators, but it's also a slash. It doesn't rise to the level of supplemental discipline.
So when Eugene Melnyk says that he should be getting upwards of 10 games, does the NHL just snicker? Do they lie? I think that sounds crazy.
I didn't hear anything else from Bill Daly on this, but I suspect this is just me guessing. They can't possibly be thrilled, an owner going after the most important player in the league. So who knows? I mean, there's also some interesting history here. As you may remember, I think, was Matt Cook not still with Pittsburgh when he collided with Erik Karlsson and Erik Karlsson tore his Achilles heel?
Right.
Yeah.
Eugene Melnyk commanded
an investigation.
A forensic investigation.
CSI. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Trying to prove to the league, and I believe he had an audience with the league in New York trying to prove that Matt Cook did it on purpose. So there's actually some interesting history between the Penguins and the Senators over all this. So I don't think you can ignore that when you consider today's comments. But, I feel horrible for Mathod and the Senators because they're on a nice run, and he's again, one of the good guys in the game, an important player. But that's an everyday slash. It's tough because the irony is guys like Crosby and Patrick Kane and Johnny Gaudreau get slashed like that all the time, right? The offensive players. So it's kind of weird that it went the other way, but it's really unfortunate, but I don't see how it rises to supplemental discipline in my eyes.
Well, the important thing about this, Pierre, is by no discipline on Sidney Crosby, that'll quiet down any talk that Sidney gets preferential treatment.
I know.
Pierre, by the way, for under $20, Wenty, their Cabernet Sauvignon from California is excellent,
right,
and it is $17.95.
All right. I've been loving the conundrum. See, you got me. You tricked me now. But the conundrum, which is at a nice cheap price, moderate, from they're from the makers of Camus, I believe.
Yeah, it's a great blend.
A blend, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Fantastic.
There you go.
We end on a high note. Thanks so much, Pierre. Right, TSN Hockey Insider.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Pierre.
God, everyone who hates Crosby is going to hate him more. Sherman Hamilton joins us next. We talk Raptors, we talk Heat right here on TSN 1050. Welcome back to TSN 1050. This is Game Day. I'm Matt Cuz. That is Gareth Wheeler. Sherman Hamilton is going to join us any second now. Raptors taking on the Mavericks Saturday on TSN 1050. And you can watch it on TSN 4 pregame at 7:30. Tip-off at 8:30 p.m. The Raptors, a big win over the Miami Heat, a team that crushed the Raptors the last time these teams met about a week or so ago. And the Miami Heat have been the best team in the East, if not all of basketball, over the last 2 months. Wheeler is now giggling. I don't think it's about the Raptors. What's on your mind there, buddy?
No, I'm just people writing in potential lyrics to Blue by Eiffel 65.
Yeah.
It's hilarious.
Yes. And also shout out to Sheila, who emailed in the actual lyrics to the song, if at any
Are they the actual lyrics, or are they the perceived lyrics? I don't know if we know that these are 100% the words. Because if you listen to the song, you're like, could be something else.
Yes.
It's a mystery, buddy.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, here we go.
It's Friday, everybody. And all day and all night,
and everything he sees is just we just want the chorus, right? Inside and outside.
Blue is his house with a blue little window and a blue Corvette. And everything is blue for him. Oh, this is horrible. What are we doing?
No, but it's the chorus part.
All right.
Ready?
Sorry, everybody. Apologies to the listeners.
I'm blue. I'm a green, I would die. I'm a green, I would die. I'm a die sometime.
No, there's no green. It's just ba-dee, dee da da ba something.
I'm a green, I would die.
Go for it, Wheeler.
I'm blue, I'm a green, I would die. I'm a die sometime. I'm a die sometime.
To be fair. To be fair. If you listen to
Make up your own words.
If you listen to Leafs Lunch, Gord Miller spends 15 minutes every show singing the exact same song.
breaking down Eiffel 65.
Absolutely. We're joined now by Sherman Hamilton. Sherman, thank you for joining us so that we are no longer singing club hits from the late 90s.
What's wrong with that?
Do you want to hear Wheeler sing the I'm Blue song?
Okay, that's bad. Okay. I take it back. There's a problem.
What?
Thank you very much. He's an Olympian. He's an analyst. You see his work all the time on NBA TV.
Game ops at the ACC. That's more Eiffel 65 requested by Sherman Hamilton.
You'll be hearing Sherman Hamilton 8:30 on Saturday here on TSN 1050. Sherman, looking back at last night's game, more impressive, and you have to answer, it's one of two options. DeMar DeRozan got 40 points as a guard without hitting a three-pointer, or DeRozan got 40 points when the other five guys on the court in the opposing jerseys knew he was the one going to be taking the shot. Of those two, which was more impressive?
More impressive that he got 40 points based on everybody knowing that he was the guy that was going to be forced to score the basketball. Every night DeMar goes out there without Kyle on the floor, teams know that if DeMar can't score, the team's going to struggle to score. And it's amazing to me that he still gets his game off. He's able to manipulate the defense and even add more problems to the situation. Their second team scorer, Serge Ibaka, he's out of the game as well, and DeMar still figures out a way to score. So that's more impressive to me. When everybody's game planning for you and you still go out there and you still put points on the board, that's doing work.
With DeMar, and the thing is, like, you're right, if DeMar's not scoring, the rest of the team's not scoring. That's why trying to put DeMar DeRozan in the season that he's had in context is very difficult, sure, because he has been so good, maybe to a point where he's underappreciated around the NBA world.
Well, for sure around the NBA world in terms of the exposure he gets, but you better believe that teams and coaches and players that have to game plan for him, there's no lack of appreciation for what he can do. And he's putting it on every team that's game planned for him, and he's doing it in a way that they can't stop. So, yes, I get it in terms of TV time, in terms of talks, in terms of writing about him. He doesn't get what he deserves, but he gets the respect he deserves from opposing teams. And for DeMar DeRozan, that's pretty much all he needs. But another point to that is, I think since Kyle has been out of the lineup, DeMar has been unbelievably good. With Kyle in the lineup, teams have to really deal with Kyle's ability to break teams down and shoot the ball and all the offense that he brings. Without Kyle in the lineup, DeMar's job is that much more difficult. And to see him take this kind of step is phenomenal. And it really shows the quality of a player that he really is.
So I look at this team. Without Kyle, they lack that outside scoring ability. They lack one of the best point guards in the NBA. We get all that. But this team is still 10-5. And although it might not feel like it because there were some bad losses, sure, 10-5, and they've closed the gap between them and the Wizards. What are you seeing that's kind of changed with this group that's really helping them pull out victories?
Well, I think one thing that's really helped this group is the fact that they've been able to develop while winning. And, you know, last season we saw Norm Powell take huge steps in terms of becoming a player that they added into the rotation. Now we're seeing a guy like DeLon Wright step up in a big way and be a factor. Jakob Poeltl, he's stepping in, and he's doing a very good job as a rookie. So you're looking at players that are getting thrust into roles that they weren't expected to have, but they've been able to respond. And through a group effort, they've been able to kind of help this thing move along in a winning way. So it's one of those things where, listen, this team needs Kyle Lowry. If they want to do what they have to do this year, they're going to need Kyle Lowry playing. But for right now, the contributions that they're getting from their young players, and then the additions, you know, Serge Ibaka has been phenomenal for the Raptors. PJ Tucker has been excellent for the Raptors. So the timing of it all really helped in terms of the trades and the young guys doing what they do. But make no mistake, even though they're winning now, they need Kyle Lowry if they're going to get to that next level.
And poor Jakob Poeltl, as we're talking, he just got two fouls on him and he wasn't even doing anything. Joined by Sherman Hamilton, Raptors color analyst. Sherm, if Toronto can actually catch Washington, and it's so close, but when we look back at the fourth quarter of that Bulls game the other day, maybe the most entertaining game of the season, we look back at that fourth quarter as one of the main building blocks for the Raptors managing to get back into the top three without Lowry?
Well, I definitely think that would have been a marker going down the end of the season. I said this when we called the game on the radio. I said this was a character-building win. This was a team-unifying kind of win. And it's one of those things that we haven't seen from the Raptors in quite a long time. So the fact that they're able to win that game after the whole melee that went down is really impressive, and it says a lot about how far this team has come. And I think towards the end of the season, in the playoffs, that type of game is going to help them when they need to refocus, when they need to understand what needs to be done in certain situations. They can recall that game and see how they responded after adversity, and they can draw from that and pick their games up. So I think that game definitely will have impact throughout the rest of the regular season, but also moving forward into the playoffs.
No kidding. I mean, you've been there, done that before, but like just throwing a punch and just what Ibaka did, and he didn't play last night, they still win anyways. Like, moments like that, especially when you bring in new players, Sherman, can have a galvanizing effect. And I just wonder, like, if this team has just a completely different type of swagger, I don't know if that's the word, but just the demeanor, that maybe they didn't have that mean streak, that little bit of an edge that they clearly do now, which can go a long way for a team that has always been known as a team that's been kind of soft defensively, especially without Biombo, right? Like, that was the big question, whether they'd be able to rise to the challenge. And now it looks like there's individuals that are kind of pushing them that way.
Well, you're right, and I think the word we're trying to figure out here is they have a different disposition about toughness now. They're a team that physically they have guys that will not back down, and you know how it is. It's like the big guy starts to fight, and all of a sudden the little guys behind them want to throw a punch now. Before, they wouldn't have thrown a punch, but they got a big guy who's in front of them who's really leading the charge, and I think that's what P.J. Tucker and Serge Ibaka can do for this team from a toughness perspective, and I really think that, you know, sometimes you got to go outside of yourself to find things. And to your point about now having that element of toughness, they had to bring it in and inject it through free agency. They got that through the trade deadline, and now they're responding to it. And to me, that was the thing that was missing. Not only did they address the positional value of a Serge Ibaka and a P.J. Tucker in terms of on-court basketball skill, but they also addressed that intangible, that toughness factor, that grittiness, that willingness to go to whatever extent it takes to get the W, and the galvanizing factor that you talked about. To me, when you have a team that's willing to go down and fight for each other like that, it takes coaching out of it. It takes everything out of it, because you're playing for the guy beside you in the locker room. And to me, that's the best way to play this game.
Sherman, we will listen to you on Saturday. Raptors, Mavericks, right here on TSN 1050. Who wins in a 40-yard dash, you or Dirk Nowitzki?
I think I could still beat him.
I think you can.
I think I can.
I would love to see that. I got money on you as well. You watch Dirk Nowitzki run. It's not the most efficient and compact stride as he goes up the court. As always, a pleasure, sir.
Thanks a lot, guys. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, buddy. Good friend Sherman Hamilton at Sherman Hamilton on Twitter. Pregame 7:30 with McPeak, Watson, J-Lew, Jonesy, and Sherm with the call.
You didn't use any one of them's full name.
Nope.
It was either last
everyone
name
knows
or
who they are.
I know.
You can watch on TSN4 as well.
Yes, you can. It's a great. Yesterday was a great day of sports. You had Leafs, you had Raptors, you had NCAA.
World Cup qualifying as well. Brazil, Uruguay, Argentina, Chile.
Don't tell me the score. I PVR'd the Uruguay game, and I'm going to watch it when I get home. Okay? Promise? Promise?
Promise.
Okay, thank you very much.
Ireland, Wales this afternoon, buddy. Jacked. Welsh Dragons.
The Welsh Dragons, they are going to spew fire all over the pitch.
Stop. One of those songs, like Arctic Monkeys, that you just think of the commercial.
It's not
like
the Arctic Monkeys. It's not the Arctic Monkeys. It's Ford Truck. Because Ford power. When you got a big haul that you got to lug, Ford Truck is what you need.
Is it Ford? I know it's something. Like,
I don't know.
Now this song is just
Silverado.
Synonymous with a car commercial.
When it's time for a tough day's work, you need Silverado. Get a Yukon.
Oh, is it whiskey? It's whiskey, not a car.
Oh, it's the whiskey commercial. That's right. Hey, when you're with your other hipster friends and you're in that cool, trendy bar, it's time for some whiskey. And remember, Okay, we got cool Asian guy, your cool black guy, two white guys, both have got beards. Boom, we got some whiskey
commercial.
This car commercial
sounds a lot like the whiskey commercial.
Yeah.
Also,
yeah.
what's wrong with hipsters?
Well, I never said anything was wrong with hipsters. Love
your hipster whiskey. Yeah, whatever.
That's those commercials. Those commercials. I watch those commercials. Where's me?
By the way,
from me in that commercial.
I love how Jack Armstrong joined us on the show a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
We said, keep the beard.
Yep.
He was wavering. He's kept it.
Yeah.
It looks sharp.
Slick back hair.
It was sharp.
Gordon Gekko hair, hipster beard. That's Jack Armstrong. He looked good last night. I was watching the broadcast.
Like the beard.
Before we get back into Friday free for all, here is Gareth Wheeler.
Free for all Friday.
I can't do it. I can't. I'm bad. And you know what? Technical producer Zach Summers put it the best way. Friday's the last word. Friday's the last day of the week. And I keep screwing it up. This is on me. So we'll take away the focus on me making mistakes to Gareth Wheeler creepily saying Khaleesi.
Khaleesi. It was weird. I admit it.
Techno producer Zach Summer, scale of 1 to 10. How creepy was that by Gareth Wheeler?
I don't think it's that bad. I think you're overselling it a bit.
Yeah, I think
play
so
it again.
Too.
Play it one more time.
Like Khaleesi.
Yeah, I don't know.
Tyler Hunt, you got my back? Or am I playing it up? Is this too much on me?
It's not creepy. I thought he said greasy.
Right?
I wasn't even sure what he said.
He sounds greasy.
In like a Scottish accent?
Daenerys. Game of Thrones, what is it, July, Zach?
July, yeah.
Yep,
yeah.
Gotta wait till July.
It's good, you jump on the mic with the correct answer there. Time now
by the way, HBO's got a lot of quality programming. I'm totally into Crashing. Pete Holmes, it is hilarious. Sorry, just wanted to give a shout out. Sunday nights, the Crashing, John Oliver, the week that was. Is that what it, the week that was?
Last week tonight.
Back-to-back, quality stuff.
Good to have you back, Wheeler. Time for Free For All Friday.
Free for all. It's free for everyone. Free for all. It's Friday.
And I'm going to need everyone to stay by the mics. You might be needed. Hey, boys, would you rather win bronze in Olympic men's hockey or lose the gold medal game and take silver? Let's go around the room for this one. Would you rather watch your team win bronze or lose in the gold medal game and get the silver?
It's an easy question. Lose in the gold medal game and get silver. No one cares about the bronze medal game. At least you're at the dance.
In the moment, I take the bronze. 2 weeks later, I want the silver. Zach, what do you got?
I disagree with your everyone hating the bronze policy, but I do agree with you wanting the silver policy.
The bronze medal game is like, even the players like, we have to play one more game. We can't win.
It's like a bowl game between two teams that thought they should have had a better seed. Tyler?
I want the one with the least disappointment. So if you're losing a semifinal to get into the bronze, that's a little bit disappointing. Losing a gold medal game is totally disappointing, though.
All right. Free for all questions. Another one texting in. Do you have a heart condition and you need to watch a Toronto team win? Do you watch the Raptors down by 10 going into the fourth? Because the Raptors lead the NBA with 19 victories while trailing by 10 or more.
Okay.
Or do you watch the Leafs and they're up by 2 going into the third?
Oof. I'm watching the Raptors come back. My heart can't take that. Even last night when they were up 3-2.
To the like, Devils, yep.
I think Taylor Hall scored. It was scrambled in front of the... Like, I was like, the Devils started to put pressure.
Yeah.
When are teams going to learn to stop pulling their goalie against the Maple Leafs? They're dynamite. They always score with the empty net.
They've been
and I say that tongue-in-cheek.
Yes, they've been
but it's
hot
the
streak.
Maple Leafs holding the lead that would give more anxiety.
All right. I'm the same way. I'm taking the Raptors down by 10 versus the Leafs. Got to watch the Leafs up by 2 in the third. It's free for all. So let's get the guys. Technical producer Zach Summers, which one do you want? Raps down by 10 or Leafs up by 2?
Leafs up by 2.
Tyler Hunt?
Leafs up by 2.
All right, Tyler, this next question actually was for you. This question wasn't for me. This next one. Does Matt ever feel that since he's turning 42 soon, Tyler is just waiting for old man Cause to croak so Tyler can take over the captain seat? Tyler, are you waiting for me to die so you can take over this
seat? Actually, Wheeler and I have been plotting it that we're going to have our own show. We're kind of waiting for it. If you can hurry up, we've got some good ideas.
Hurry up? You're waiting for me to die?
Yeah, just speed it up a little.
Anything you want to add to that there?
Unless you can get immortality, that might work too.
God.
A little bit warped and twisted there, Tyler.
Yeah.
Not going to lie to you.
Jeez.
The question was a little bit warped.
It was a little bit warped. And there I was, saying nice things about you guys. Yeah. Final question I can't answer. Maybe some of you can because I'm a little bit older as the last person texting in. Which Power Ranger would you be? I've never watched the Power Rangers.
I don't know either.
So I'm going to be Bryan Cranston because he's the big head guy. And
Bryan Cranston, who was on that show?
Yes, he was. He's also in the movie. And who didn't love Malcolm
in the
Middle?
I was too old to be into Power Rangers, so I was out of that kind of that era.
Yeah. I have no answer. Do you guys find the glass of any answer?
I got nothing for Power Rangers.
I was the Black Ranger because his name was Zach and my name was Zach. When I was a kid.
Did he spell it with an H?
He spelled
at the
it
end?
With a K, so there was like a little bit of harshness there, but
Jeff,
I forgave him.
Jefferson hitting us up. Jam rankings. I don't eat jam. That's another one that I can't do. But feel free to weigh in on your top five jam rankings.
Well, first off, Tyler, do you know how it feels now to be interrupted? Because Tyler never got a chance to answer the Power Ranger question.
Did you care about Power? I thought we were done with it.
Because
we both acknowledged that we didn't
care.
Because
I gave the perfect answer, so we were done with it.
I was actually going to say I like the Black Ranger because he spells his name Zach with a K.
Okay.
Not Zach with an H.
All right.
Zach with an H, Zash.
No, it's not at all. Stop it.
Okay. Someone's sensitive.
Someone is really sensitive.
Zash Summers.
It's just a name. It's only a combination of letters. It's not who you are, buddy.
I think you just put a hard H and make it a K on your name because your first name would just blend into your second name.
I can turn
name.
Your mic off
Zash
right
Summers.
Now.
Zash Summers.
Oh.
Zash Summers.
You've had that power this whole time, Zach? Jam rankings, number one, strawberry. Two would be raspberry. Coming in at number three, I'm going to let grape jelly. I think jelly and jam can count as one and the same. I'm doing grape jelly at number three, blueberry jam at four, apricot at five.
Okay.
That's my jam rankings.
Yeah, I'm not a jam guy.
No?
No.
What do you put on it? Like, what
no,
do you put
I
on?
No, I don't even put on butter. Like,
what do you put on your toast?
Well, with my toast, I'll never have toast without eggs. And I'll put my eggs on the toast.
Oh, okay.
Or avocado.
Mm-hmm.
There's other things you can put on.
All right.
How about this one? Without giving away too much, how many Big Macs approximately could someone buy with your yearly salary after taxes?
500,000. We wrap up the show next. We've only got 2.5 minutes to finish up the week here on Game Day. That's Gareth Wheeler. I'm Matt Cause. So to bring his insight, it is our toaster oven insider.
Now, this was like literally a hot topic today.
Hot topic, toaster oven.
So many people were responding because I thought they were completely extinct.
Nope, but joining us now to break that myth for the next 60 seconds or so, Patrick O'Sullivan. You hear him almost each and every day on Leafs Lunch. Patrick, your thoughts on the toaster oven?
My wife and I have one.
Do you?
Yeah, and from what I'm told, it's a pretty nice one. I don't use it.
Okay.
My wife does. But you can cook in it. Like, you can use it like an oven, too. There's, like, special recipes. Again, like, I appreciate the way you sold that, but I'm not an insider.
No, Patrick, it's TSN. Everyone's an insider.
Right.
Okay.
Insider.
Darren Dreger is probably going to join you. He's an insider. Gord Miller,
but
he's an insider. They're all insiders.
I did hear your conversation when I was driving in, and as soon as you said that, I'm like, there's going to get a lot of responses, because they are out there.
Best thing you've ever had.
It's not...
Does
I don't
your
think
wife
it's like
use
a,
it? What does she
honestly,
use it
not,
for? Bagels?
Not much. Not much. Like, a normal toaster is way easier to use.
Right.
But I think more people than you think have them.
Okay. Maybe I need to invest in a toaster oven. That's what I've learned today.
Like, yeah, you know what it's good for? Like, if you cook, like...
A sandwich?
Vegetables in it, too, though.
Really? Put vegetables
like
in
asparagus.
It? Really?
Sure.
There you go.
My mind is blown.
Wheeler's a vegetarian. Patrick, thank you so much for joining us.
Anytime. This was dynamic.
Yes. This is, you know what, I'm sure you'll talk Leafs or maybe just more toaster oven talk.
Buddy, just talk Eugene Melnick going crazy for half an hour.
Hey, we got. No. We are not engaging O'Sullivan.
He owns it. He can't wait for this.
Not engaging O'Sullivan in any hockey conversations. He's got an hour of Leafs lunch. I'll just finish off with this. I heard you mention something about a turkey. Is that true, that a turkey or something ever cooked in a toaster oven?
A turkey?
Yes.
I did not say that.
What's this toaster oven must be yidge if you're going to put a turkey in
it. I've heard that as well. Patrick, thank you so much for joining us. Wheeler, great to have you back. Catch you on Monday. Everyone, enjoy the weekend. Enjoy these moments. Raptors win. Leafs win. They're all in the playoffs. They're all climbing in the standings. It's going to be a fantastic weekend. Have yourself a good one.
I'm blue. I'm a dyer sometime.